In the following live session recording, Keith Chandler, state missionary with Georgia Baptist Mission Board, leads the session entitled Bivocational Music Ministry 101, Where's My Cape? Superheroes and Ministry. Ministers find themselves dealing with conflict, managing schedules, planning worship, leading choirs, and a myriad of duties that are placed on our desks. Mix all that with another job and home responsibilities, and the task can be daunting. Keith Chandler has experienced this personally, and his insights and leadership will provide the tools needed to serve with effectiveness and joy. Let's join Keith now.
All right. So glad y'all are here. For those that have heard this already, I apologize. My name is Keith Chandler. I have served with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board for 15 years. Served at First Baptist 50th Spring 17 years before that. I had a full choir program, handbell program, children's choirs, all the good stuff. Before that, I was 5 years at Dothan, Alabama. I call that my quiet years. And then I was at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where I received a master's in conducting. And before that, I was at Shorter University, where I graduated with a vocal major. And then I was at Truett McConnell before that with a 2-year degree. And here I am today. That's kind of a backwards way to tell you my stuff. But So I've had a lot of experience. And I tell you, I've not had one bit of conflict or misery or anything during my ministry in those years.
Okay, move away from him with
yes.
The lightning.
So because of my experience, I have quite a bit of, I've never been asked to leave a church. So I count that in the plus side, but certainly have gone through, I've had every kind of ministry you could ever think of. I've served every Sunday since I was a missionary in a church somewhere. I've not missed one Sunday since I was a missionary in 15 years. So I've met a lot of pastors, worked with a lot of pastors, worked with a lot of different pastors that I probably would have never worked full-time with, that just had a different philosophy of ministry than I did. Some very hands-on. I'm sure all of you experienced pastors at one time or another that, think they have to tell you when to breathe. My longest tenure was with a pastor like that. He was even into the, I was in charge of the building and grounds, so all the janitorial staff was my responsibility. And down to the point, he wanted to tell me what the bathrooms needed to smell like. So, been with that kind of guy, and then I've been with a guy that could care less what I did. I hired you, now get over there and do it. So, been with both styles. I kind of like the middle of the road of those two guys. Someone that's in charge, somebody that will give vision and direction and make me accountable. I want to be accountable. And so that's kind of that. Now, this is called Where's My Cape? It's Where's My Cape because music directors, music ministers, worship pastors have to use all these titles. Now we're all these different things. Are expected to be... just think about it. Let's go 10 years back. You're the only one. Y'all are the only two, I think, that's going to be able to go 10 years back and think about this. But 10 years ago, you had your minister of music. He was trained musically, and he led the choir, and he led a few hymns on Sunday morning before the pastor preached. He maybe led a children's choir, did some hospital visitation. That was kind of the scope of the ministry of music. That was kind of it. Today, much like what we've seen on the platform here, it's much more of a production. Now, I was going to say a show, but it's a production. In other words, there's moving pieces to every little thing that's done. And so there's multiple people on the AV staff. There's multiple people in the band. There's multiple people doing things on the sides. you know, you'd think that the guy doing the presentation software would not be the most important person in the room, but you let him not change a slide on time, and all of a sudden, he becomes the most important person in the room. And so all of this has changed over the decades, because when I first started, the ministry really was me. You know what I mean? There was nothing besides me. And so I either did it or it wasn't done. And now we find that we have all these volunteers and, you know, all this big staff kind of stuff. And even in the smallest church that I've ever served was a church about 25 in the choir, just about 25, 175 maybe in Sunday school, maybe. That was a good day, 175. But even there were multiple pieces to that ministry. How many of you are aware, you've already heard this, but Planning Center, y'all have heard me mention that? Okay, Planning Center, I've got some handouts over there if you weren't in my earlier classes. But Planning Center is a program that kind of puts it all together as a music ministry. And so it allows me to plan my worship there. It allows me to have my music there so all of my team can go to one spot. And so say I'm sitting at my office and I download the hymn How Great Thou Art to Planning Center. Well, immediately everybody has access to that. And so I have chord charts attached to everything. I have words attached so the people that are doing the slides can just pull the words from that. And so it's just a planning house, is, you know, kind of like I see it.
Is it app driven with like notifications stuff?
Oh yeah. So I choose my teams, then my teams are notified through email, they email me back. They actually email the program, and the program just alerts me that they said yes. And so that just helps me as a minister of music. I don't have to check my email. I don't have to make the email. The email is already done. It's just a matter of click, 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 send. And so that's what I use. It is a cost thing. It's just like CCLI. If you've, and I hope all of you have CCLI, if you're putting words on your screens. It's a by membership. So you have 200 in your church, then you pay a certain amount. If you have this, pay a certain amount. And it is a cross church. It's not just a music program. It will schedule things like if you rent out, or maybe your church people use the fellowship hall or this room or that room, it helps you organize all of that as well. So it's just a full planning for the church. But you can be as small as what I'm now at the church I serve. It's only a music thing. They don't use it to check in children. They don't use it to, and it can do all that, but they don't use that. So we're actually need to be a superhero. So here's what I'd like to do. Quickly, let's start over here. And if you'll tell me your name and the church you serve and the size of church you serve, okay? Just give me a kind of a guess of maybe how many came to Sunday school last Sunday, or how many you have in your choir. That would be helpful. Okay, so let's start over here.
Jordan Hillis, Woodlawn Baptist in Savannah. Our choir is about 20-ish, and our church attendance is about 130.
130, okay, good.
Shannon Davis with Hillcrest Baptist in Hayes, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think our choir, we have a live band in the choir, maybe 25, 30. And about in this round 225. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you the minister of music?
No, I'm the drummer there.
The drummer?
But we're running I sing there too. We run the youth choir.
Okay. All right.
I'm his wife, Jennifer.
Yeah. It's an important role.
It's a very important role.
Yeah. So are y'all aware? I'm sorry, this is going to be a little commercial here. Are y'all aware of Real Fest? That our office does. We do that in January for youth choirs. So you can bring as, you know, 1 to 200. This year it's going to be at First Baptist Dublin for the South and Carrollton Tabernacle, Carrollton for the Atlanta area.
And what's it called?
Real Fest. R-E-E-L Fest. F-E-S-T. Okay. You can go on our website and get all the information. Okay. Aaron from Shorter University will be our clinician, our choral clinician, and you buy 5 or 6 anthems. You don't have to learn them beforehand with your choir, and they come and learn them during the weekend, Friday, Saturday. So last year we had Cliff Duren So we have people like that. It's a great, great conference. If you have instrumentalists, orchestra instrumentalists, we have an orchestra for young people as well during that weekend. So we'd love to see y'all there.
Okay. All right. Ashley Workman with Fort Creek Baptist Church outside of Augusta.
Okay.
And we've got about 25, 30 in the choir, and then we have 250.
Are you the choir director?
I am the choir director.
Okay.
And we have a separate worship and music music minister as well. So I get to focus on the choir.
Okay. So you don't lead worship. You just lead the choir.
I just lead the choir, and then we kind of... He leads the worship, but of course, singing on the praise team and whatnot. But now I get to just focus on the choir.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That would be my dream job. Yeah. All right.
I'm Shay McDaniel. I serve at Olive Branch Baptist Church in Ellabelle. It's 30 minutes from here.
Okay.
We have about 20 to 30 in our choir. I do not lead. I'm just a participant. And Sunday mornings are usually around between 170 and 200, something like that. I don't technically have a role. Our church is in some transitioning type things, but I lead a young girls choir. I lead a children's choir. I plan and do most of the service with a couple of other people, but we have a guy that leads service, but he's not participating in any of that, so it's somewhat of a transition period. So
let me ask you two same question then. Do you not lead the worship because you're a female?
No. Because I was an interim between the last worship leader choir director retiring and him coming on full time.
All right, because that's one of the issues we need to tackle if that's the case.
No,
I don't feel like it is. Our church is a very down home, traditional Christian, Southern Baptist. And things don't like, it's been like this, so this is how we're going to keep it. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been going to that church for 11 years since I've been married. And so I'm slowly making my way into, things that I feel like God's leading our church to. So me and our pastor and a lot of our worship planning team are on the same page, but we just have a couple of people that are not, and they're in big leadership roles. So that makes it a little bit difficult. Yeah.
Are you doing contemporary at
all? I personally do contemporary, and the groups, that I do lead, and our choir does some contemporary, yes. So we are...
What about your congregation?
They're about split, half and half, where they're like, yes and no. So it's...
I read a quote on Facebook the other day, and like I said earlier, if it's on Facebook, it's the truth.
Yeah, there you go.
But the quote was, the greatest love would be for me to love someone enough that their preference of music is more important than mine.
Yes, we just talked about that.
Yes.
With the pastor and the music minister here at
First
Baptist, John.
And so I know, because I'm 62, that there is a certain genre of music that I personally worship to.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what that is. Anything that brings glory to God. Mm-hmm. It is not, I'm not a hymns, chorus, verses kind of person. If it brings glory to God, then it's worthy to
Me
be
too.
Done. Yeah. So, I have friends on both sides of that aisle.
Yeah.
But that brings me a lot of grief as well. You know, because the 60 and above people like me want me to speak out against this, and then the young people say, well, why don't you? So I find myself almost like this. I'm in between.
Yeah.
But I see validity and value in both, and so I never want to berate or to even be heard to say that I'm berating some person's passion in worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if they're passionate about it, and it's gone through this, it matches this, then I'm all for it. Now, so So anyway, that's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us about you, Diane.
Well, I'm the song leader, I guess you could call it that. We don't even have a choir. We have about 30 people that come on Sundays in the morning. So.
If we had
a choir, they'd all be in the choir, so we would have
that. If you had a choir, you know, the percentage of Sunday school attendance to choir is usually about 10%. So if you had a choir, you'd have three people.
Yeah.
And that's a good trio, especially if they all three sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to let that be a yearly goal. By the end of this year, we're going to have three people that sing in a choir.
Yeah.
You know, don't start at 90.
No.
I'm afraid you won't reach that. But no. Three is a good, I mean, yeah. That's attainable because you're one.
Yeah.
You're a third of the way.
There you go.
So, yeah. All right.
I'm Pat, and I'm from Reedy Creek Church in Stapleton.
Mm-hmm.
Our organ player has just contracted dementia.
No.
So he can't learn anything new, and
yeah.
We don't know how long he's going to be able to play.
Mm.
Our piano player has arthritis, so he's often missing the keys, and sometimes he'll get playing so fast we can't keep up with him. And our church is about 200 years old, and most of the congregation's about that old.
About 200?
And, you know, they're not into the newer music.
They don't have to be.
No.
Mm-hmm. We like the older spirituals.
Right.
And
well, if that makes up 99% of your congregation, is I mean, no reason
right.
to do anything different.
Yeah, but we average maybe 15 to 20
right.
in the choir, you know. They'll come sometimes
right.
they won't.
And so you've been enlisted, right?
Well,
we
lost our choir director, and there was an opening. I felt led to
praise God.
Go step in, and I've been in the choir all my life, but I've never been a leader.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just trying.
Did you have children?
I do. They're gone.
You've been a leader all your life. Yeah.
But,
so
you know, and something else that we have to transition to is pretty soon we're not going to have an accompanist, so we're going to have to go to CDs or
mm-hmm. Lifeway Worship. What I saw you looking at earlier, what I gave you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and just become proficient with that. It's a step by step. I think I gave it to most of you. If I didn't give it to you, it's up here and I can get it for you.
That's really
but it's
good.
Just how to use lifewayworship.com. Does anybody use it now?
I don't know if that's what I'm using
or not. I haven't used it recently.
Yeah. It is a tool that I use every week.
You know, we had no accompanist for years.
Right.
We had a piano and we had an organ, but we had nobody to play either
right.
of them.
Did you sing off the piano?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
Church
were,
of Christ.
We just sang,
that.
And
yeah.
everybody was singing.
I love that. Yeah.
And it was people that would visit, or like a visiting preacher or whatever, would think, wow. You know, because we were good. We sounded good.
Right.
Singing without the piano. Or
right.
That shows a lot for your church, though, they're really singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't feel like we would be that way.
Right. But anyway, so Lifeway has this thing where you can actually make a song. You can edit the song. You can say, I want to sing a verse, a chorus, a verse, a chorus, a chorus, a chorus, and then make a CD accompaniment.
Wow.
Does it connect cool. with Planning Center?
It does. Yeah. And so it'll just shoot it right over to Planning Center. As a matter of fact, if you choose, if you buy anything in Lifeway, it'll shoot it to your...
Okay.
Yeah.
So where contemporary songs... If you play live band, they can just drag it out forever.
Correct, yes.
You can take a Southern Gospel song,
right.
re-edit it, have a lull in a little bit of it, and then bring it back up and like you would a contemporary.
Right. Now, I try to give grief to both ends of this,
yeah.
and so here comes some grief for this
Ooh.
End, okay? So this guy's introducing himself. He's a contemporary worship leader, and this is how he does it. I'm a contemporary worship leader. I'm a contemporary worship leader. I'm a contemporary worship leader. Y'all get that tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is, you know, we, the this side, you know, will say, well, they repeat all the time, and then they don't look in the own log that's in their eye, that, you know, if they look back at some of the hymns are repeated, you know, repeated. And so on this side, though, they don't look at the theology that was actually learned through the singing of those old theological hymns. And so, like I say, I think we've got to come to a point to where it's not an either or.
Yeah.
It is a both and.
Yeah.
So that we are, it's just doing everything. When I came to Lithia Springs, 1901, they asked me style. Now that was before 1990. Okay. So before really anything really hit, you know, as far as praise and worship music. And here's what I told them. I said, I will do any genre of music, including, I went on there to do Fiddler on the Roof. I did Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So we did all kinds of things, and all of that brought glory to God. And so I said, you know, we're just going to use everything to our disposal to bring glory to God. And I think we are going to have to get there in our worship sets and saying, yesterday, when Ron broke out into "This Is My Story," I just thought, you know, oh goodness, you know, it's just how they blended those things together were so good. So we can do that. Now, this class, like I say, is just called "Where's My Cape?" In other words, it's a daunting task. And so what I intended to do was to talk about issues that you actually need me to talk with you about. Okay, so be thinking for a second, what is one of those things that's just bothering you? Or I'm not saying I have the answer, but I'm going to say that I'll tell you my opinion, and then if an answer needs to come forthwith, I will find the answer. Okay, so y'all think about things that are just confounding you right now. You know, are you having trouble with an accompanist? Are you having trouble even seeing how it's going to work? You know, just anything. I'll talk about anything.
Okay. We'll start with it.
I'm a drummer. I'll just start off with that.
You're a drummer?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We have a live band, so how do we get band members to show up for practice? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They don't practice. They don't play.
Well, there's one way.
They don't play. We don't have a bass player.
Okay, is that the worst thing that would happen?
Oh, no, God will send one. I have no fear.
No, I'm just saying for that Sunday, that'd be the worst thing?
Yeah.
They just wouldn't play?
Yeah, and we've gone without it before.
I think that more than anything, that is not a problem that's related to the band. It's more an issue related to the commitment level of that band member. And so what they're doing, just like the guy this morning was talking about, it wasn't this morning, it was yesterday, the guy from Lifeway, when he said that the guy asked him after the funeral, well, what are you going to say at my funeral? And he said, well, you're writing that story every day. Yeah. I think this band member, I have a lady at the church I'm serving now, and she's always 15 to 20 minutes late. Always. And she comes in, here's her excuse. I can make you a list. I'm a single mother. That's always her top excuse. And I'm thinking, well, my mother was a single mother with 6 kids. We went to church every stinking Sunday morning, and we were all dressed, and we were there on time. Bad excuse. Okay. Her next excuse is going to be, I'm a nurse and I work late. Now, you know, I love nurses. My sister, my daughter-in-law is a nurse. I understand they work long hours, but if you're committed, let's be committed.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm saying I don't know that, you know, do y'all meet other than just to practice? Like, do you meet and talk about what you're about, what you do, how you do? Maybe you need to just have that kind of thing. Maybe at your home, you know, not at the church, but at home, and just have a short little devotion and, you know, talk about commitment. You know, your commitment to this, your level of commitment is going to either make it or break it.
I do that on a wide spread to my choir about twice a year.
Yeah.
It usually happens right as we're getting into summer and people are doing vacations and whatnot, and then right after the holiday season. And we have a talk of, like, we are a team, even though there's 20 to 25 of us. But you know, that section depends on you being here. They depend on you learning the music. We depend on you to be here to worship.
Are they paid?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
But the learning the music is the issue. He can play outstanding, and he's there on Sunday when it's time to play. But as far as being there for choir practice, he's very he can improvise real well. He adapts, so he can pretty much pick up on anything. But if it's a new praise that comes out,
yeah. See, that's where being really talented hurts you.
Yeah.
Because you think that you live in a different realm than most folks. Oh, I can just play that on Sunday. We've been without a drummer now for 6 months. And the inclination to most folk are for them to say that I ought to go and play, because I can. Mm-hmm. Well, my inclination is, well, I'm not doing the church any service by me trying to do that and what they've asked me to do. And so I've chosen not to do that. And then a guy comes Sunday that's played years before. I don't even know who he is. And he comes and he says, oh, I can play this morning. And so I'm hit with that, you know, well, now what am I going to do? And I politely told him that, you know, we haven't been able to talk. And I said, you know, I would love for you to play, but, you know, you're going to need to come and go through everything with us so that we can be together on the same page.
Did you say your choir and your band practice together? Or does the choir use a live band?
The choir uses a live band. Oh, we use some CDs.
Okay.
We actually throw a mixture of Southern Gospel, little, because our pastor doesn't care much for it, but the lady lead service.
Yeah, he doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. she still throws some Southern Gospel in there. We throw a lot of contemporary in there.
Right.
And then we also throw some hymns in there.
Well, that's good.
So we run a mixture of all of it, but yeah.
Does the band ever practice on their own?
No.
So that, a lot of times, it's really hard to have a band and the choir practice together.
Oh, it is.
Because if you're practicing parts, the band's like, what am I here for? You know, and then the band's, you know.
And we're bored.
Bands are running licks while the choir's practicing.
The drummer and all, I'm just always over to do bopping.
So don't make them be there for the whole time.
Yeah.
If it's an hour long, let them come in for the last 20 minutes.
Well, that's
or start at 20 minutes, let them go after 20 minutes, and then just work with a choir.
Well, see, I grew up reading music and learning music through school, and then our piano player, which is the leader, she didn't, so she's still learning a good bit. So I tell her a lot of times, y'all come in here, you play piano, and get them used to singing, and then we'll come in. Yeah. So I try to do that to help adapt him to coming in, but he's still...
Yeah. You know, well, that's probably the solution to that, is to have some personal time with all the band. Are you the leader of the band?
No, not really.
There's a song written about you.
She's still, for now anyway.
Right. Well,
she has an
eye.
Oh, yeah. See, that sometimes gets you in trouble.
She can have an
eye. Yeah. Well, you just, you know, it's going to have to come from the leader, and it's going to have to come and possibly come individually. In other words, you don't want to correct in front of everyone. It may be could you stay for just a minute? And just have a heart-to-heart, you know, you're not trying to... You know, you're not getting on to them. You're not reprimanding them. You're just saying, man, I really want this to work. I want it to work well. And right now, we just can't. It's not gonna go well if you're not here to hear what we're doing. Your talent is great. You know, your talent is great. I understand you could do it with your hands behind your back. But, you know, we really just a team approach. You know, it'd be like the quarterback on a football team saying, you know, hey, guys, y'all just get out there and practice, and then when it comes to the game, I'll come and I'll throw you some. Yeah. That's just not going to happen. Yeah. And I can say those kind of things all day and not make any, you know what I mean? Since
we've tried some of that already.
Since you're not the leader, your hands are tied to some degree. Yeah.
But also coming from, you know, possibly just a brother in Christ saying, look at, you know, this would really work much better, and it would be so much more effective if we all practiced together.
Well, see, I'll go as far as sending him the music. We if it's a contemporary, we play pretty much exactly like it is by the artist. So I'll send him this thing on text and say, hey, listen to this song, start learning the song. But that app, I've tried pushing for them to adapt to the app where she can send out the music, and it'll be whatever version we're going to be playing, and they can just listen to it on the way somewhere on their phone. But,
well, that would be nice.
Would you suggest, though, if they're doing it, like you said, pretty much by the artist version, because you can upload, you know, you can pull it from Praise Charts or Lifeway or whatever, the choir can have their recording, they can practice that on their own, and then have the band come in and practice the live music with them?
see if we can ever get us a full-time music minister, then they do that kind of stuff. I've been to churches where the minister of music, they take the time to load all the stuff on there, and everybody kind of, even some of the songs, they'll break them down into their parts, tenor, soprano, stuff like that.
We don't have that yet.
So.
And I don't think the solution to the problem is to get a full-time minister of music.
No.
You know what I mean? That'd be great. But that's your problem is still going to exist, even with a full-time guy or gal. Give me their email address and I'll send them a nasty email.
I was trying. I'm going to pull the brother in Christ out there.
Come to him in love. Like, look, we really...
And honestly love him. Say, hey, I'm,
Well, we have a relationship with him already, but our son dates his daughter, so we'll see how that goes.
Well. Sounds like you got an in on that one.
Yeah, really good. All
right, I'm going to walk over on this side, okay? So something else you're having difficulty with.
I think for me, it's helping them transition from the books to put it down so you can worship. Mm-hmm. Because you can worship in your heart, but you can't lead as effectively with a book. You know, when we've got the tools, the words are on the wall, we're really putting our trust in the AV guy.
Take the books out?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to build, we've got a very multi-generational choir. So you snatch the books and it's like panic.
People don't do it with their hands.
I was about to say, they don't know.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
I try to tell my choir to, like, worship is different for everybody, mm-hmm. and it looks different. And by you being up here, you're saying that you want to be okay with demonstrating a style of worship. And sometimes our job is to be an example for the people in our congregation, because they may not know how to worship, and it's okay if you don't necessarily know how to worship, but you can try, and to try to find what way is best for you to worship, whether it's swaying or raising your hands or clapping, or you have your eyes closed if you need to sit down and worship, whatever that may look like. It's just trying to find that way to worship so that we can be an example to our congregation.
Is your problem that they're not looking at you?
No.
Okay.
No, it's the security.
Well, we have that issue. Our choir is the same thing. I mean, we have a 95-year-old lady that's in our choir, and then I'm like the youngest one. I'm 32. So I have a pretty good musical memory, so I can listen to it just twice and then I know it, but I hold my book because everybody else is holding their book, but I just I don't even look at it hardly, but it's just to be somewhat of a uniform because I'm like, well, I'm the only one up there but our choir director, he's like, you know the words, just look at me, I don't mind you holding it, but
yeah, it's really logistical because I'm thinking from a sound standpoint, because we're holding the books, it's right here. We're not looking out at the congregation. We're not engaging. And then you don't realize you're not even smiling. You feel like you're smiling. You think you're smiling because you enjoy it. But you've got that book right there in front of you. And the choir is...
I can't see me.
Right. And the choir is so used to doing pretty technical songs. For a choir who, most of them can't read music. They're pulling out Christ Church and Brooklyn Tab, and they've been doing it forever. So there's a lot of page turning. And they're used to having to do that, whereas we're blending in different kind of worship. Mm-hmm. So if it all fits on one chord chart, we don't need to do all this.
Right. I've never made a big deal out of holding music or not holding music. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to hold music, don't hold music. If you need to hold music, hold music. I'm 62, man. I'm getting lax. Because used to, everybody had to hold the music the same way, in the same hand, with the same robe, with the same, everything was the same. But the older I get, the more I think that, and you said it, worship is individualistic. It's, my worship may not look like yours. We may be doing the same songs, but your worship may not look like mine. Some people are going to be very open and be able to be real smart and know your music really early. I'm not one of those. I'm not one that can memorize what I see. And so, I have to work really long and hard at that. But as a leader leading worship, I try not to use music. In other words, I don't have it on the pulpit. I don't have it on a music stand. Now, when I'm rehearsing in the Sunday mornings, I have it there to refer to, but I try not to use it in worship. But that doesn't mean that if I have to get a fill-in praise team member at the last minute and they need to use music, it doesn't wreck me. You know what I mean? Or if some of the choir are using music, some of the choir is not using music. I just encourage those that do use music. The folder can actually be a very amplifier if it's not this, like you said. But not many people hold it like this. But, you know, if it's down, it is actually an amplifier of the voice. And so the voice hits a hard surface and it moves out. But it has to be this. It can't be, like you say, up in the face. For years, I had a lady just recently try to back out of choir. She called me and she said, I'm not going to do choir anymore. And I said, why? I asked, why? Why are you not going to do choir anymore? She's a very faithful member. She said, well, I can't stand that long. And so you know what I did? I got a whole front row now that sits, you know, all of a sudden, she's not the only one that has that problem. And so we had a young lady in a wheelchair that now feels comfortable, you know, coming and singing in our choir. We have an older lady in our choir now that wasn't before because I let her sit. And so the whole front row of my choir sits. And that's some are physical and some are just, they want to. The rest of everyone else stands. Works well for, you know, 175 church. So, you know, it just fits well for us. I usually get three praise team members besides myself. I said this earlier, it's a soprano, alto, tenor. I don't let bassists be on the praise team unless they want to sing tenor. They can't. It's usually not written for a bass part, so they really struggle, basses. But you'd be surprised at the basses that'll say, yeah, I'll sing tenor. Since the choir robe phase has moved on, I just try to,
the choir robe doesn't really work.
Someone sitting in my choir is much more important than her not doing it because she can't stand up or because she can't do something else or she feels like she can't memorize music. I never want to feel like, you can't be here because you can't. Mm-hmm. I want them to say, you can be here because you can. Yeah. And so that's kind of been my approach to that. Anything else? We got a roll here. Mm-hmm. And y'all are answering some of my questions. That's easy for me.
Well, my congregation is like they were saying, they've got to have that book. And I hate to say this, but our choir has gotten ho-hum.
Yeah.
The pastor has expressed to me that he wants to see some lively singing. He wants some participation from the congregation on the call to worship, which they're not getting now. He says, it's y'all's job to get the congregation in the spirit, and that's what I'm working for. I would like to know what some call to worship is that's upbeat and lively that the congregation can get it. Yeah.
Now tell me who your pastor is.
John Jenkins.
John Jenkins.
He lives in Thompson, Georgia.
Yeah.
Y'all use a hymn book?
Yes, we do.
What hymn book is it?
Just the Baptist hymnal.
Is it the brand new one, 1991 or 1970?
No, the pastor has found out that Lifeway has this new Baptist hymnal that has a CD with it that has piano music that's for every song. Praise the Lord.
Did you look at the price tag for that?
No.
Yeah, he'll say something different when he sees that.
I think it's like $25 a book.
It's lots of money.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And it may be something where you could use the Life for Worship and Planning Center, because you may not sing God Our Help of Ages Past. I mean, there may be some things you don't sing,
but you're paying for the whole shebang.
Absolutely.
You know, so you can try it, see how it works.
That's a good idea.
And if you use the planning center like he was talking about, it keeps that song list for you. Mm-hmm. So you know what you've used, you know what works, the arrangement's already there. We used the Lifeway Worship series when it first came out. I think we were one of the first churches that started using it. There are some of the arrangements that are more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not what you would be accustomed to if you just moved from having a pianist and an organist and your standard red back.
To jump on that, huh?
Yeah, so it may be a little overwhelming.
But even with the new Baptist hymnal,
I don't need any more overwhelming.
It has some of the old, like, it has your oldie goodies in it, in the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a good transition point for you to implement that even with the choir and have the choir do the call to worship with some of the newer stuff or some of the older stuff that they would know, your congregation would know, either through the courses that they've put in or some of the other hymns that they've had in there, where you can just do a slow implementation of it with just from your choir or praise team to, and the sanctuary wouldn't necessarily have to, this congregation wouldn't necessarily have to touch it until much later.
Okay, that's good. So let's be practical. She asked for titles. Let's think of some titles. One song that I've used effectively, it's not a new song, but it's the song, and it's in the New Baptist Hymnal. I will call upon the Lord,
right.
That's always a good one.
Who is worthy to be praised. And you sing it like that the first time. The second time, you add, it's an echo song.
Right.
I will call upon the, I will, and it does that. And so that brings some excitement, and it's easy to do because you just teach two-part with the melody.
Right.
Yeah. So that's in that New Baptist hymnal. But I think it's in, it may be in the Family of God. What hymnal do you use? You don't know. So it's not, this is the New Baptist hymnal.
That's what we have.
I had it right here. It's over here in this box. I didn't think I'd use it, so I put it up.
The New Baptist hymnal, too, it's really helpful for, they have what's called Connect and Worship in the
right.
back. So it lists two or three different songs
so that
together.
Just
that
come out.
This
one
is
right
the 1991. I guess I could call it just out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, it's green.
You can buy one of these at Lifeway. Any of the Lifeway bookstores would have this. And if you just had one and got one for your pianist.
But you said your pianist and all, y'all are about to lose all of these people and you're going to have to go
to
CDs?
Well, I want to go in and work with our pianist because...
That's the one I was talking about. So it's just antiphonal.
And so that's a 91.
This is, yes.
That's the one that was on the shelves, right? The most recent edition.
This is the most Baptist. Yes, this is the newest Baptist hymnal.
Like
they have a 76.
No,
does that work?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
But that has some things that they would have heard on, like even your older modern Christian music stations. Like
right.
A lot of Christian colleges have their own music station. A lot of those songs will be in there, so they're not. They're not really super, super modern choruses, but it's something that's familiar and that's really single.
Right. It really tried to. This hymn book really tried to bridge that, the two genres together, and no hymnal could have ever done that. I mean, it was an impossible task to start with, but they did a pretty good job. Like here's "He Touched Me," oh, He Touched Me, right next to an old 1960s chorus. God forgave my sins in Jesus' name.
We have what's called, and I don't know, I'm not familiar with all the hymnals, but we've sang it before. It's called a celebration
hymnal.
Yes. I love some stuff out there.
That's my favorite hymnal.
It's amazing.
So you need to write that down. You can get that from Lifeway as well.
Yeah.
Celebration hymnal.
It's real short, quick, like just
right.
choruses really, and you just like repeat it.
Right. Yeah. And it's got medleys
right.
as well that you can sing two or three songs
yeah.
right in a row.
I wasn't sure if that was what you were talking about.
That's
kind of like in that, yeah.
But this one has like
celebration hymn.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Celebration hymnal. It has like celebrate, Jesus celebrate,
uh-huh.
Come into his presence.
Yeah.
We've even done a new name in Glory because it's peppy and it's an older, something that people like. And our pianist likes that southern or like that old church feel, and so he can pep it up.
Since I'm gonna
and it is peppy,
to put their music down. It's gonna have to be something that they can repeat and know.
The new arrangement of Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King, it adds Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing to a praise chorus. And that would be a good call to worship. Mm-hmm. I know all the old ones. All hail King Jesus.
Yeah.
Hail Emmanuel.
That's great.
I tell you, a course that keeps coming. You know, Mary McDonald. Do y'all know Mary McDonald? Mary McDonald is a composer, lives in Tennessee. She accompanies the Tennessee Singing Men. Anyway, she's an arranger, composer. And she was telling a story about how this, I'm not going to tell the story because it's long, but how this person knew this song that was written originally by somebody but was in church, and then she came home and she sang the words and all that. And this is a person who had, now this, you know, this was on Facebook, I'm sure. But they had died and then were brought back. And so the mother said, "How do you know that song?" And said, "Well, they sang it in heaven." And so Mary McDonald, it was just one of these things you think about it. I'm not saying this is in the Word. I'm just saying, you know, this made me think, where do we think songs originate? Like, do you think that maybe songs originate in heaven? And then are sung in the hearts of believers, and then they write them down, and then we sing them. You know, for so long we think, you know, here's a Christian composer, and he's sitting in his room, writes it and does, you know. But what if it were that? What if it were that they originate in heaven, and then in the heart of the believer, and then the believer writes it down, and then we sing it, that it's originated in heaven? That's just an interesting thought. No theology there, just
Then I've heard, like, Stephen Curtis Chapman say what inspires him to write songs,
right.
You know, different people.
Yeah. So that's just an interesting thought.